Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Laura Larson is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's our new friend. She's Vice President of SBA Operations and Program Manager at KeyBank. She's the lady who helps their customers do a great job with making sure that they get the capital that they need, and sometimes that requires an SBA guaranteed loan. And as you know, the SBA doesn't make the loans. Banks like KeyBank make the loans, but the SBA guarantees them. Sometimes they need that help, and KeyBank does a great job of doing that, and I really am proud of them for doing such a great job with the SBA, supporting the SBA, and Laura is in charge of that, and she's here to talk to us primarily today, though, about something I think is a very important topic. You know how much I like talking about franchising. That's what she's here to talk to us about. Laura, welcome back. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Thanks for having me today.
It's good to have you here, and of course, you're always welcome. You guys are always welcome on the show. I like talking about franchising. Laura, I call franchising entrepreneurial coloring inside the lines.
That's a great description.
If you're an entrepreneur, you're starting from scratch, whole cloth, nobody's giving you a track to run on, that's kind of outside the lines. You can just kind of wander around outside the lines like I did when I was in the second grade, and often still do. But franchising, you get to go wild and crazy as long as you stay within the rules, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's you're actually a lot more successful if you do that. Unlike, a true entrepreneur, I think we get the impression the really successful ones do the wild and crazy things. And with franchising, the process is a little more tried and true. And if you're willing to stick to the advice of all the people who've gone before you, you know, it really does help you to save yourself some lessons learned and some growing pain.
Well, the term, there's an aviation term, Laura, that I know you've heard, called pushing the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
In aviation, that's where that came from. There's a performance envelope that every airplane has, depending on the different things that it is capable of doing, speed, weight, that kind of thing. It has an envelope, when you're pushing the envelope is when you're out on the edge of that, and if you go beyond that, beyond the envelope, when you go outside the envelope, that's when you get into danger.
Right.
And if you're an entrepreneur who's not working with a franchise, that's where you live, right out there on the edge oftentimes. But the thing about being a franchisee, owning a franchise that someone else has created, you have an envelope just like in aviation, but you can push it, but you got to stay within the envelope. You're not going to be successful. Most franchisors, Laura, will not, they make it very specific when they sell someone a franchise that look, we've learned how to do this, we know how to do it, it works the way we give it to you, do it that way, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And in fact, some cases, depending on the issue, they even build it into their agreements that if you stray too far, you actually negate the agreement you have with them.
My favorite story about that, Laura, is one of the places that I do business with, the franchise, is it's called Heavenly Ham.
Sure.
They make a pretty good chicken salad that I like. And one day I bought it and it tasted differently. And I went back and I said, why is it different? Was it different last time? They said, well, we changed pickles. We used to use dill pickles, now we use sweet pickles. That's the new recipe from the company. And I said, but wait a minute, I'd like the other way. And they said, I'm sorry. I said, no, I want you to make me some chicken salad with the old pickles. And they said, we can't do that. And I said, why not? Because I knew all this. I was just kind of, at this point, I'm having a little fun with them. And I said, why not? And they said, because we have to make it the way the recipe says.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say this kind of pickle, that's the kind of pickle we make it with. So guess what? I learned to like it with the other pickles. The new pickles. But yeah, I mean, that's how specific they are.
And that's the tough balance for a business owner is sometimes you feel like you don't agree with everything, and are you okay with somebody else being able to make some of the decisions in your business? That's part of what you sign up for when you go into franchising.
Yeah, I mean, if they say stir it counterclockwise, you stir it counterclockwise, not clockwise. So what are some other things that we need to know about picking a franchise?
Well, picking a franchise, I can't say enough about finding a franchise that allows you to speak to some of their franchisees and getting a good smattering of franchisees to talk to. If I see a common surprise point, let's say, whether it be negative or not, a common surprise point for franchisees that are in their startup phase, it's that they didn't realize that something was going to happen or something was expected, or that even a year in that things changed or expectations changed with the franchisor, et cetera. And getting a good sampling of talking to business owners that have been in the franchise system for 6 years and 4 years and a couple startups so that you get a sense for what do they do at different stages of growth in my business. I mean, great that they helped me
and this
start
is,
up.
And this is irrespective of the franchise you're going into. Just generally talk to people who have been successful franchise owners of any kind.
Well, there's that. And then you're even asking even earlier, how do you just even pick out of the whole multitude of franchises? There are a couple things that I would recommend for something like that. First of all, actually, lenders certainly interact with franchises quite often and need to know which franchises are doing well, which support their franchisees well. If an individual person at a branch doesn't have an answer for you, they know somebody they can talk to within their bank who has a sense for franchises. So they may be able to just say, hey, here's some that we think pretty well of. Here's some that, we'd steer clear of at least this year because it seems like they're struggling. There are also, and here you just need to make sure, again, there's always a due diligence component, but there are some good, reputable groups out there that will help you, organizations that will help you find a franchise that fits what you're looking for. They almost act in a way like a broker. But the important thing to be aware of is if you're working with an advocate like that, you want to find one that's not necessarily on commission with a given franchise, that they really can represent the wide array of franchises and help you find what fits you.
Exactly. Laura, stand by. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We're going to be right back with Laura Larson. She's vice president at KeyBank. And I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We got more stuff on franchising, a lot more stuff to come after these messages. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our new friend, Laura Larson, soon-to-be old friend. She's Vice President and National Operations Manager for KeyBank, especially focusing on their small business lending program, especially with regard to Small Business Administration loans, guaranteed loans, I should say, SBA's guaranteed loan package. And we're talking about franchising. And, Laura, I want to say one thing. I know you guys at KeyBank, you're based in Cleveland there. One of our Brain Trust members, who's also a franchise expert, is Joel LaBava, and he's right there in your area, and he's got the OhioFranchiseCenter.com. It's an outstanding website. Joel's done a great job with us over the years of helping us understand franchises, and so I just wanted to mention that since you guys are so close there. We're talking about franchising, how to pick the right one. There are people out there, Laura, as you were alluding to, that will help you find the right franchise. Now, I think some of my franchise experts tell me that they prefer people who are sort of agnostic about what kind of a franchise you get. In other words, they don't represent the franchisors, they represent you.
Exactly.
What do you think about that?
Oh, no, absolutely, because obviously you want them to have the vested interest in helping you select the right one.
No conflict of interest.
And not helping them just line their pocket with their whatever their particular goals may be with that company for that year.
Right, right.
Yes, definitely.
So folks, when you're looking for someone to help you, find out whose side they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find somebody who's maybe has some potential conflict, you could do business with people, Laura, who has a conflict,
mm-hmm.
just as long as you recognize that that's what's going on.
Right.
And use them to your advantage and maybe compensate them if they help you. But also make sure that when you're making your decision that you realize that if they're encouraging you, find out where their true allegiance is before you take that encouragement too much.
Right. And it doesn't mean they can't help you find one that still suits what you're looking for.
Right.
But there are things you still need to be asking. You know, there's due diligence to perform that can still make sure you are making a wise decision.
Let's talk about that.
Once you've settled on a few that you're looking at.
Let's talk about that due diligence.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You got to read the fine print, don't you?
Oh, yes. Definitely. The UFOC, the Uniform Circular Offering, I find to be a pretty hard-to-read document, but it's important.
It's secure for insomnia.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to say it. Either that or, it holds up your bed when you're when the leg breaks. But
exactly.
It's great to read through it. It really does have a lot of crucial information, including some things like, are there legal actions against the franchisor, which can sometimes tell you if franchisees are disgruntled or feel that they have not been treated fairly. It'll also give you a sense for who's in control. We spoke a little earlier about the span of control and whether they tell you what kind of pickles to use or not.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, that's great. You also want to make sure that they're not so much in control that perhaps they're forcing you to pay higher prices for all of your supplies because they sell you those too.
That's exactly right. You got to know where. I really like the envelope thing.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, I really like mm-hmm. the concept of the envelope.
That's a good image.
If you can ever get your hands, folks, on an airplane's page from an airplane's instruction book that shows you the envelope, Laura, it actually looks like it's literally a line, like a parallelogram or something. It's a line, a box, so to speak. And everything that's in that circular you were talking about is designed to keep you inside those lines.
Yep, that's right.
And it'll tell you what kind of trouble you're going to get into if you go outside those lines.
Right.
But like you say, I mean, if the company uses brown sacks to deliver your goods, and they're like everybody else's brown sacks, but they're charging you three times too much to pay, for the brown sacks that you could get locally for, cheaper, then, you might want to, that might be a problem. And I'm using that, obviously, extremely metaphorically.
Sure.
Could be a lot of different things.
Right, right. One thing, too, I think is a pretty good indicator of what sort of franchise support you can receive is the issue of exclusivity and, mm-hmm. Protected market. Because there are franchisors that are really just selling a concept, but that's about it. And they're in the numbers game. They're just trying to sell as many as possible. And
so
where's
the beef? Are you saying where's the beef?
Right.
You need to find out what you're getting, right? You need
right.
to find out if you're getting, is somebody trying to franchise you an idea that you can then take and build something on? And if they, and you know what, that might not be a bad thing to buy. Just be sure you don't pay too much for it.
You got it.
Right.
And don't be surprised when somebody opens up 3 inches from your door doing the
mm-hmm.
same thing because they haven't really protected you in any way.
Exclusivity is a very interesting concept on many levels. Supply houses have that.
Mm-hmm.
Laura,
with
if the manufacturer of say a particular type of electrical device, if a supply house will want exclusivity for that franchise, a small franchise inside of another company that does other things. To have exclusivity in that area so that everybody who buys that product in that area has to come to them. And that's worth something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so you've got to make sure that whatever you're paying for things, make sure you know what you're getting. We've got more due diligence and advice that Laura has about acquiring a franchise. We're going to talk about this some more right after these messages, including When should you expect to make money? 29 after. Stay with us.
Amazing.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Smallbusinessadvocate.com is the flagship. That's almost 10 years old, that website, and you can find our show a number of different ways. You can listen to the show. You can podcast it if you want to. Check out our the archives of that, of our shows all the way back to 99. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our free newsletter. Check out our blog. We've got thousands of articles you can read. Hundreds of Brain Trust members to check out and find their books if you're looking for a particular book on a topic. Also, take advantage of the AskJim.biz knowledge base. That's the small business knowledge base where you can go ask questions and get answers right now. AskJim.biz. Both of our websites, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, come on in. We'll let you in. Wander around and make yourself at home. Laura Larson is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. She's with KeyBank, and she's a VP with KeyBank, and especially with their SBA lending programs. Laura, tell us about KeyBank.
Well, sure. Key is actually a national bank. We're in the northern portion of the United States, since I know you're in some markets where Key doesn't have a presence. We actually do have a pretty active small business lending group, particularly our team focuses on SBA lending. And we're very excited this year. We are, you put me on the spot here, Jim. Sorry. we've really committed to the new SBA Patriot Express program, which has just come out.
We're thrilled
to see that program out there. For those who are in the KeyBank markets, we hope you do come and talk to us, particularly about franchising. We've got a lot of great people in the field who really understand franchising and can help you.
Give us that website.
Sure, it's KeyBank. It's actually key.com,
www.key.com. That's
mm-hmm.
it, folks.
Nice and simple.
So check it out. Even if you're not in their area, check out their website and use their resources to your advantage. And I do want to thank you for supporting the SBA. I've been doing that we're in our 10th year now, 11th year, actually, of supporting the SBA.
And Jim, you were acknowledged by the SBA this year with an award, weren't you?
It wasn't this year. I got it. I was the Small Business Journalist of the Year a few years ago, but I've helped them every year for 10 years in a row, and they're
great
folks. I really congratulate you on supporting them. Let's get back to franchising.
You bet.
When should a franchisee expect to make money? How long should they have to wait to make money?
Well, franchising is really no different than any other business. First year, it's probably good to assume that you're not going to make money and to have a fallback position, have some money saved or some other form of income that you can live on yourself. If your business makes money sooner, that's wonderful, but you'd be prudent to assume it's going to be about a year.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of franchises...
Or more, maybe more.
Or more, absolutely. And the franchisor can set some of those expectations based on their model. But a lot of franchisors really can't tell you, here's when you're going to make money or here's how much you'll make. It's just part of their own, they're prohibited to give you an earnings claim that they may or may not be able
and
to deliver
they start,
for you.
If they do that or if they start painting a rosy picture for you folks, you might want to run away.
Right. Right.
I would be worried
that's
about
a good red
like
flag.
That. Yeah.
But that's where, to my earlier comment about talking to franchisees, other people in the franchise system, that's a great way to
you
get a reality check.
That's
right.
An important part of the due diligence. Folks, you must. Do not buy a franchise. Do not buy a franchise. Do not buy a franchise if you don't speak to people who are doing exactly what you're going to be doing. And especially, you need to find them, even people who are doing it in a community about your size. So you know what, you can kind of have an expectation of what to do. Don't, if you're in Sheboygan, don't ask somebody in New York City what they're doing.
Right. Right. You got to find some people in your own markets. Mm-hmm. And the other piece of it is, you know, as you're talking to franchisees and you're really, you know, you're getting the sense for how long they've been in business, and it's important to make sure you're working with a franchisor that has supported franchises through various stages of growth. Mm-hmm. So if they've only been franchising for 2 years, they may not yet have enough support in their system to help you through all the phases of growth you're going to go through.
But they're also going to tell you not only about what you need to know about getting the business going, but about dealing with a franchisor.
Yes.
They'll tell you the good, the bad, and the ugly. If you say, you know, well, they've told me this, how does that work out? And then, you know, they'll give you that information. Laura, we have to wrap it up. Thank you
sure.
so much for being here.
You've given
us some great information. Will you come back another day?
You bet I will.
We've enjoyed it. Laura Larson,
thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen, Vice President with KeyBank. That's key.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Quick break. Right back with Liz Franklin. She and I are going to get organized. Well, at least she's going to be organized. I'm going to try. Right after these messages, stay with us.
Baby, just how you feel.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.